And this is the Taney County Commission, and we are back from recess. And our next order of business is a 911 board update. Tammy?
Okay. The 911 advisory board asked me to just bring you up to date on the stats for the year compared to last year and the budget. In 2009, at this time of year, we had 7,910 calls. In 2010, it was 7,748 calls, and this year it's been 10,119 calls. We've had quite a bit more. Approximately 75% of that is the Sheriff's Department taking the 911 calls from outside the city limits of Branson and within the rest of the county. And approximately 25% of that is the City of Branson 911 Center taking calls within the city limits. Right now, what we're doing is we're working on getting some of the cell phone calls routed, or more of them routed, into the city limits of Branson. Right now, we are at approximately 86% at last count cell phone calls, all 911 calls coming to
86%
are cell phone calls, and the rest are from landline phones. The budget in April of 2010.
Tammy, help me out. Cell phone usage is also tapped and received. We receive 15% of that, or zero?
Zero.
Zero. Yeah, we don't get any of that. They are, by law, able to. I'm sorry?
Exempt? They're not exempt.
No.
The way our financing was originally set up back whenever the 911 first went in with the tariff was actually on landlines and did not include the cell phones on that.
My question is this. The proposition read, the initial tax imposed should be 15% of the tariff local rate, or 75% per access line per month, whichever is greater.
75 cents.
So my point does that exclude cell phone usage from that verbiage?
From what we've been told, yes.
Okay.
Statewide, from the legislators, yes.
To change that would take an additional vote, additional legislation. What would it take?
It's been voted on.
I mean, because if we go from
locally
what we are now and we continue on, before long, there might not be very many people that have landlines for us to assess a fee against to provide 911 services.
Locally, we could probably do it with a vote. Statewide, it would take legislation.
There's been two votes statewide, and both of them have failed, one in 91, one in 93.
I think we're the only state union that has cell phone
taxing. Right.
Yes. Missouri is the only state left that doesn't have cell phone taxing for 911.
And there's legislation being worked on.
Well, to go back to the point, can we do that locally without it being done statewide?
I believe we can.
Okay.
I believe it would just take a local vote to do it in Taney County.
Can you find for us statutorily what they've put together that would allow us to consider that, just so we could look at those options for the future? Mm-hmm. What if I would appreciate that.
Okay. Did you want to have the copies of the agreements, or did you already have those?
The agreements.
With the City of Branson and with the Sheriff's Department.
I think I've got those here.
I had given them to you, but.
I have them somewhere, but okay. I think I have them here.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it these?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was the originals.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is there anything else I can do for you?
Well, originally, when this was passed, there were two taxes that were passed, correct? One by the county, one by the city.
Right.
And the agreement was that the city of Branson would not implement their tax if, in fact, the county would provide monies to them to purchase PSAP equipment and to basically fund X amount of people within those offices.
Correct.
And we've done that annually based upon that original agreement, which is probably in some need of updating, or?
In 1998, we went to the city of Branson and asked them to sign a new agreement. It went back and forth between legal and the county and the city, and it was not approved. They requested that we bring forward the original document.
Currently, through the agreement, are we required to send an annual payment once a year, or can we send that on a monthly basis for the agreed upon amount?
I don't believe it states.
The reason I ask that is today we have in our
accounts payable
a huge amount of money to pay, which is for an annual basis, which would carry us, I would assume, from this point forward for the year?
For the year 2011.
For the entire year 2011.
Yes. It's the requested amount and the approved amount through the budget process, and then I wait a few months until the budget has been approved and everything is in place, and then I request it.
We've had some preliminary agreement, but it's been a couple of months ago in the county commission. Preliminary discussion, I mean, about this agreement, and I think that we probably need to meet with the 911 advisory board to have discussions, because are they not charged with the implementation of 911 and how it's to be carried forward? You gentlemen, am I speaking out of turn here? Or?
Basically, the advisory board is just that. We come up with ideas and things and bring forward to you. That's actually the final decision lays with the commission.
Well, how often does the 911 board meet, Jim?
Usually, kind of like once a quarter, depends on what we've got to discuss.
Do they have a meeting coming up in the near future?
We just had one, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Can always schedule one if we got something we need to discuss. The 911 advisory board, though, they have no final judgment or final saying anything on that. It's all Jim, the way it's set up is for the commissioners to have the final say on it.
Nikki pulled them out. I don't have them.
Okay. What's that?
I was going to see those bills. One was for two.
228 was for the city of Branson, and then the sheriff's was two.
232.
I
thought there was a 20,000.
No, total it's almost $500,000 between the two.
The 20,000 I think you're thinking about is the admin fees.
Well, I'm looking at the old agreement, obviously, and this is dated 1992, so it really hasn't been.
For the city of Branson?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same agreement that is being used today.
And it is talking that we are contracting with GTE. I just really think that this is something that has to be updated, and it's a discussion that this county commission needs to have regarding these services that are being provided. I have this agreement logged today for the executive session that we're going to have for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, is one of the issues. But we have at least placed that item on hold temporarily until we have that discussion with council today. For your edification, to the sheriff, but with the city of Branson. You guys have some questions about 911? We have two employees currently, right?
Two employees in the administration office.
Can you provide us also with a job description for the employees? Is that?
That'd be fair.
The one thing that the advisory board, I mean, we've been in front of you before, but something's got to give somewhere financially, or 911 will be broke. I mean, we're going downhill every year.
Right.
Our the budgets that are being approved, or our expenditures are more than what we're bringing in. We're down. Is this the balance now?
That's if those were approved.
Yeah, with these being approved, we'll be down to $273,000 in reserves. So
we won't have enough to do next year, is what we're saying.
We're going to be within the next 2 years.
We'll be out of it.
We'll have to have some extra funding somewhere at this current rate of spending to maintain the 911 service.
When this was originally implemented, this was the only fee basis there was, if I'm not mistaken, but they created, did they not, the use of the sales tax? Or no?
No.
What else did they do that was?
That's all it's been,
that's all we've
is
got.
Landline funds. We went from 15% to 12%, and now it's at 10% of collection rate.
But that's done by vote, correct?
The 15% was. We could raise it back up to the 15%. Without a vote, but that would be the only thing that we can do at this point.
And that becomes more of a burden based on fewer people.
Correct.
Every year, the more cell phone usage there.
When we have 86% using it right now of cell phone users, that they need to pay a part.
Yeah.
But you're going to supply us with that information because we think that it probably would take an additional vote locally to change that. Okay.
We'll check with some other 911 services and see how they have it on their, you know, if they're collecting from cell phones, and if they are, how they had it on their ballots, and see what routes we can take that way.
Ballot language and everything.
Right, right.
We would be very appreciative to receive that information. Do you have questions of us? No?
Nope.
Appreciate you guys.
As you will know, it will not ever put on the ballot from the legislative part, so we're looking at a county one.
Yeah, we can't wait on the states any longer. I mean, they've been doing, you know, looking for a solution for the last 10 years and haven't got a step closer than what they was. So we need to do something locally ourselves to be able to maintain the 911 system.
Is Ron, as we attend our MAC meetings and everything, it's brought up every time that we have a MAC meeting. It's brought up as a...
It's been one of the priorities of Missouri Association of Counties, but it has been one that the legislature just will not deal with.
Right.
Yep.
So, along with a number of other things in the state. But did I say that?
Thank you.
All. DNR, local approved program briefing.
Yes, sir. That was me.
Well, we'd sure like to hear from you.
I'd like to update you in the next 15 minutes or less to stay on schedule.
Were you also at that?
Bob was there, Bob? Too. And he can be here
come
to
up and join us.
He can fill in the blanks, and if I misspeak, he'll graciously correct me with all love and respect possible.
Don't trust him, Bob.
So we went to the meeting last Monday, not really sure exactly what to expect, but we went there almost like lambs to a slaughter. And we were met with four people, starting with Davies, Cynthia Davies, who is the regional director of of DNR, and then a bunch of other people, and I have their cards here. If you're just wanting to know, Kevin Hess, who's the water pollution section chief, Tina White, water pollution inspection enforcement unit chief, of course, Cynthia, who is the regional director, and then Charles Greason, environmental specialist. Those are the four people we met with. And I went in there not knowing what the DNR local approved program was, and I'm requesting that information, but from our county clerk. But we entered into an agreement according to DNR in 2008, which was an agreement that we're able to accelerate dirt disturbance permits, land use permits, that DNR normally takes there and process in their office in Springfield, they actually allow us to process those. In return, we are also the enforcement agency for DNR in Taney County when there's violations. And specifically, they brought up one specific project called the racetrack. And they proceeded to let Bob and myself know that they were very disappointed that we did not enforce what was our responsibility. They also went on to say that we'll probably have to, they are right now, we're, because we violated the approved program, that they will be revoking that. And I said, okay, so what's the repercussion? And the repercussion is and Bob, make sure I say this right, but any dirt disturbance request of an acre or more would now have to go to Springfield for their approval, and right now they are 60 days minimum delay. So the process would be is that if people wanted to disturb an acre or more, they wouldn't use Taney County Planning and Zoning anymore. They would go right to DNR. There's only three organizations in the 29th County District that have this local approved program, Taney County, Greene County, and the City of Springfield. Everyone else has to go through the DNR process, and so what they were mostly discouraged with or mostly disappointed with is that we knew there was violations and we didn't step in and stop the project through a work order, stop work order, or use the prosecuting attorney, which is laid out in this agreement, to demand a stop work order until all the permits were in place. I asked them, quite frankly, why didn't they call me or call anybody in the Taney County and let us know that we had this program? Or, you know, I told them, I said, we've had some changes. They knew that Bob had already come on board, so they knew there were some changes. I asked them, why didn't they call us? And they said, why didn't you call us? And I said, okay, touche. We both didn't call each other. But the fact is, they're very, I would say, respectfully, as an agency, can be disappointed in Taney County.
This is DNR?
Yep.
Okay.
They wanted to know, what they basically said was there will be some, have to be some substantially
changed. Can I see the cards of the individuals that were there?
Yes, sir.
Was the director there himself?
Yeah, herself, yeah.
Herself?
Yep.
That's Cynthia Charles.
No, I mean the DNR director for the state of Missouri.
Not for the state, regional director.
Okay.
So they went on to say that we'll have to make some changes to our policy and our procedure if we wanted to maintain this local approved program that's renewed in March of next year. Is that right, Bob?
Yes, that's my understanding as well.
We talked about a lot of...
It's called local what?
Local approved program.
Can you tell me, Jim, how that out of all the counties that are in southwest Missouri, Greene County, City of Springfield, and Taney County, were the only ones that had this local approved program? How did we attain that status to start
with? Well, from what they said was that we solicited them, plus we were going through some growth stages in life, and when we were going through the growth periods, they solicited us, and I guess we were at that point, Eddie, and I don't have all the details. Once again, I don't have the contract or this agreement, so I'm waiting for the agreement. But the reason I'm giving you this very quick briefing is so we know that there'll be further, there are going to be follow-up conversations, and I'm prepared for them from the state level. And, it left the point that we were going to we left it at a point where we're going to get the agreement in hand, we're going to review what we said we were going to do, and see if we violated any parts of the agreement. They were going to review the agreement also, and I don't think they really wanted us to touch base with them. Correct. Is that right, Bob?
That
go ahead and throw some other things out there.
Really, you've said what I took from the conversation as well. I had understood that this program would expire in March.
And of 2012.
Of 2012.
Okay.
And that the county could either choose to reapply. But if we did reapply, they talked like they wanted us to update our program considerably.
Right.
If we don't reapply, the thing they kept emphasizing is it takes away a lot of local control. That basically, if we have an earth disturbance, that it's going to come through their office first,
But currently you believe we can do that until March 2012, that we have an agreement that's still in effect?
That's what they...
Yeah, they did not terminate the agreement.
They did not jerk the agreement, they would not renew it unless...
Unless we updated the program.
In their evidence that they presented in this hearing or this meeting that you all had, did they have proof of what... That we had, in fact, violated what we were supposed to do?
Well,
I'm just curious how they presented that.
Well, they didn't. The fact that they sent those notice of violations, which they emailed me the notice of violations. The fact that they had to issue notice of violations and we didn't stop the project when we had questioned, that was the proof that they started with. And I'm trying to think what the email, which gentleman sent me the email, but it was who sat right across from me. What was his name? Was that Charles? That was
I think that was Charles Greason.
I'm trying to pull my email up right now. I was going to give you the email that I got, but they sent me the violations. The fact that we had to let DNR do the violations where we are supposed to have stopped it.
When they say we, are they talking is the county commission specifically or planning and
planning zoning?
Okay, because the reason I ask is since I've been in office, we haven't had a meeting about this at all.
No.
Or any public discussion within the county commission. So.
I mean, the significant conversation that I got onto because of the letters they sent, and I saw some, they showed me some letters, and I said, well, can you email me the letters? The significant thing that they have had a decision on that I thought was different than I had assumed, which was when the intended use changes from agriculture, that's when dirt disturbance permits are required. And what they said was, we knew that he came before the commission in December. In our eyes, the intended use of that land changed to non-agriculture. Therefore, they had to get all the permits in place. And they've had attorney general rulings or something to enforce the word intended use. And in the documents they sent to me, the word intended use is throughout that. When the intended use changed from agriculture, that's when we were supposed to enforce. So... We left it fine. I mean, the reality is, if we want to continue with the program, they're going to expect changes. I got to find the agreement first.
Well, and I've not seen the agreement either.
If we can't find an agreement on the county side, surely the state has a copy of said agreement. Does our county clerk have copies of agreements?
I haven't requested. I'll be honest. That's where I just haven't got to that.
Bob, when you leave, would you see if the clerk has on file as custodian of records a copy of that agreement?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Dan. Go ahead.
When the issue of noncompliance was ordered, and I went down to P&Z, and there on file was a DNR... approval. Was it DNR or was it because we were second, weren't we, Bob, and land disturbance approval? Or we were first? I think DNR approved it before we did.
Now, in my understanding, and I believe this all occurred prior to me coming here, but my understanding was that we issued the permit first and then the DNR. I do know at this point they have gotten both permits.
Here's my question. I'm not questioning because you can't argue with the level that's at a different level. They're not here. You can't defend your situation. But what I understand is because I've been hearing about all this for quite some time, and then made my own little walk down to P&Z, and Eddie showed me permits that were in the folders, in the files, that had already been approved. And I was still hearing through news media, everywhere, that the approval of land disturbance permits weren't there, and they were on file at P&Z.
Now, I do agree. I know at this point that we do have a land grading permit.
I think that the root of the whole thing was they expected permits to come through their. They expected permits from us to be issued sometime in December or January. That's what they expected. Their expectation was, what'd you break, Bob?
up in. Okay. Sorry.
Or do you want some more pieces? I got one. I got one earlier.
Wait. It's frustrating.
Sorry.
No, I think their issue was we should have seen a permit from Taney County sometime in late December or January, and that's when it didn't happen, and that's why they're a little.
Well, long and short of it is, in the local approved program, they feel that we should have been, let me use the word, proactive, and we weren't, and that we need to be if we're going to re-opt for this local program, correct?
That's
correct.
Yes.
So I don't see that we're going to have a problem complying with that as we move forward. That
I didn't even know the program existed, so.
Now, I would really like to read what that existing agreement was, learn more about the program, and I will be delighted to go sit down with the DNR director and others that would be involved to chat about our intentions to move forward in a way that they feel is best for our county and we feel is best also.
They didn't go into a great deal of detail, but they seem to indicate that by March we would have to potentially make some amendments to our program, was what I kind of took from it.
March of 2012.
Yes.
They mentioned September. They wanted to start seeing some draft changes. So September this year, we're supposed to submit some draft changes to our program to be reconsidered for the March date.
It will be real important for me to see our program.
I agree.
Me too.
I do.
We can talk about any draft changes.
You're
going to
take that then?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And then I won't take that off my list. Perfect.
Okay.
Appreciate that, Bob.
That's all I had, sir.
Bob, anything else on that?
I think that was it.
Jim, does this have anything to do with the meeting that you had? Did they also have the discussion with the architects, engineers, and all that kind of stuff?
No, that's a different argument now. I got another letter.
They have been requesting this meet. We had postponed it a couple of times because we had conflicts.
Us and them, yeah.
Right. And we weren't able to meet with them. So they've been pursuing us over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks to have the meeting.
Yeah.
I don't have any other questions, if you gentlemen don't.
Nope.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
and I will make sure that I get a hold of that agreement.
And get us a copy. Oh, I'd
exactly,
like to, yeah.
Exactly. Because I have not seen it either, so
all right.
I definitely like to see that.
But again, if you would check with the county clerk, she's also looking for an agreement
between the city of Branson and the 911 and the Taney County Commission too.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Next on the agenda is bid process. I asked for that to be on there because I think we just need to have a general discussion, whether it's today or we set it for the future, on how, in fact, our bid process within the county should work. I have personal problems with asking bidders to submit bids by a certain date and then several days later opening those bids.
I agree.
And moving forward at that time at another late date by examining and comparing them and then setting another date for awards. I think that we need to come up with a system wherein we ask purveyors to submit bids. They're opened the day that they're to be received. And, I mean, if someone gets it here early, that's fine as long as it's before a certain time. But that we don't set them aside for a time certain to do that. I just, and I'll be glad for either of you or I will myself come up with some bid specs to utilize that either we have utilized in the past or other counties are currently using that seem to work well. What are your druthers?
I mean,
all I had about that.
I agree. And after listening to feedback from vendors and things like that, whatever the time of the day, it just needs to be correspond with one of our public meetings, whatever it is. If it's a Monday, if it's a Thursday, whatever time it is, the opening will be at a set time because we're putting times on the agenda. They can that sounds good to me. That way they can walk in with the bid as long as our official clock on the wall shows. So I agree.
That's perfectly fine with me, but I understand this, that you're saying they walk in with the bids, or could we give like a 48-hour notice for them to have the bid sealed and delivered.
Well, that's what we're doing now, and that's not working. So
well,
I would say...
Yeah, but that's not exactly what we're doing now, because I think that some of those are coming in as much as a week. Or,
well, it depends on when you send the vendor in. I mean, I used to respond to bids years ago. I would send them a week ahead of time. As long as they... if they're going to be present, they can hand deliver as long as it's before the deadline.
Here's the appearance of impropriety. The appearance is... The bids are received early. Somebody has the opportunity to look at a bid and inform someone else of what was in that bid. Mm-hmm. And we need to do away with that appearance of impropriety. I know that's not happening, but it has an appearance of impropriety. And if someone wants to risk sending it early and sending it by FedEx or however they want to deliver it, that's fine. But if we set a time for bids to be due on a Monday or a Thursday, we're here to open them. We receive them. We check the mail. It does away with that appearance of impropriety.
Okay.
And they had the option of bringing it, send it in early anyway, Danny. That everyone does.
Always, yeah.
Well, I understand that. What I'm
saying
is
what
that
we
you
were
get
doing.
Away from...
We were asking for bids to come in maybe a week.
Well,
before they were ever open.
At least a weekend. I mean, mm-hmm. they were coming in a Friday, and we'd open them on Monday, mm-hmm. and that's when it got a little ugly. So I think that's when I heard the feedback from the multiple vendors was, you know, I'm hoping people will still send them in early, because if you get stuck in traffic, I know we had a procurement card issue last year where a vendor got stuck in traffic because of an accident over on the F Highway, and they got here 20 minutes after the bid opening, and we couldn't accept their bid.
Yeah. So they offered to withdraw it themselves.
Yeah, they withdrew it. So.
Yeah.
But anyway. Excellent, sir.
That is all I had on the bid process. We are. Is there anything else from this morning that's unfinished?
Can I just throw one thing out, sir? We just got notification from the U.S. Corps that they're going to increase the release till 20 to a total of 20,000 CFS.
At what time?
Right now.
Immediately. Yeah. And it was already at 14 or 17, so it's just a small increase. What they're going to say at this point, they're going to be spilling a little bit out of the gates. You know, normally at 14,000 or 16,000, everything goes through generators. So what they're going to see is if people drove by the spillway, you'll see a little water coming out of the dams. Not all 10 gates. There'll be probably, I don't know what the combination would be to get an extra 4,000. But anyway, not a big deal.
Mary Ellen sent out another email from MAC. Jasper County is, in fact, asking for help from counties that are close. Thus far, Jackson County has already responded. Other counties are looking at responding, and they are asking for us to contact Carthage, because they have two courthouses, so the courthouse in Carthage still has phone service and or their emergency management director over there. And I think we should put our emergency management director in contact with theirs and see what they are needing specifically.
Right. And that would be fine, because I'm thinking resource, if it's dump trucks, if it's loaders, something like that. I mean, I would be fine with sending 10, but let's get Chris or Melissa working on that, and they can ascertain what they need. So,
yeah, I'm fine with it. I should we do this as our Southwest Missouri Association?
I don't know that fast they can mobilize the whole organization. So.
Well, I know, but I mean, is it something that?
Well, I think that's a good idea. Maybe we ought to contact, isn't it, Cherry Warren, that's the head of Southwest?
Let's bring that up at our next quarterly meeting, or maybe we need to do it.
To have that in place for the future, you mean?
Have that in place for the future.
I can call Cherry since I'm secretary of the organization because of Danny Strahan, so I can call Cherry if you want me to.
Yeah, I'd
just see what they're doing too. Just make sure they're aware.
I'm just strolling through some of the other things that she said. Refresh me, Danny, on the Pro Tem Cedar Creek structure. We left that.
The way I understand it, FEMA's going to be talking with Harlan and Randy, and we want to look at a different approach to the bridge, because the bridge structure is going to have to be totally different than what it is here, but we was wanting to check and see if we could be funded for the bridge structure the monies for the bridge structure.
Even though we're going to do a slight different alignment.
Yeah, and we have to be careful with that because we got into that on the Lakeshore Drive situation down there when they said we went above and beyond, they only paid for so much. We want to make sure that they pay for what it would take to fix this one and on another bridge. That's what we had to do. When we did, like, you weren't here, Jim. Was you weren't here either, were you, or were you? When we did the Lakeshore Drive structure.
Wasn't here either.
Okay. What we got into was we went in and fixed it like it should be, where it would carry more water and everything, and then they wouldn't pay us for it. I mean, they paid us for basically what putting back what was there, and it wasn't sufficient.
Gentlemen, let me review very quickly while we have a moment the rest of the agenda. For we have a conference call for approval of payroll on Wednesday. That's at 9. Shortly after that, I have a funeral in Spokane. Thursday, exec agenda request review, computerized temperature control discussion, and performance versus non-performance contract discussion. Are both of those Debbie Redford?
Yes. And she couldn't move those any earlier in the day. That's why they're so late in the day.
That's fine with me.
So that's why we have a huge gap in there between 8 and noon.
I don't have the second page.
Oh, here we got, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, we couldn't move Debbie forward.
Well, I know, but we got Road and Bridge. The Road and Bridge function there that needs to be posted.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yes. The retirement.
Right.
Yeah.
We've got two long-time employees that retired from Road and Bridge.
That's right. And
well, here's...
And I think I've got a
here's my question. Look at your first and second page of Thursday.
Yeah?
No, yeah. Ah. See what I'm looking at here?
Hey, hold on. You didn't. Hold on. I can tell you something. You didn't print this. You printed this. When did you print that?
This morning.
This is what the official agenda is here. Because you could have printed that with the time that was updated. That was updated at...
I just took it off the bulletin board upstairs. Made 9, this morning.
9:20 a.m.
Okay. Well, I made a copy of that.
And that was at 4:57. This was the most current. Should be on the bulletin board. That's the...
This is on the bulletin board. I copied at 7 o'clock this morning.
Is it not renewed or something? Be updated? What are you looking at different?
Oh. It's okay. This is it.
That's it. That's the most... That's when I... Because, you know, we get updates all the time from Nikki, so I just make sure the last one, look at the last time on it, so... That's done. All right, so I guess we'll recess until 11:15. Is that right, gentlemen?
We're scheduled for executive session at 11:15, so let's stand and recess until that time, at which time we will entertain a motion to go into executive session.
And we won't come back out for people. There won't be any air.
Did we do anything here? I mean, we didn't. We
held it.
We didn't.
No, we held it.
No, it's for exec.
Okay.
We held it. We're waiting for that agreement. So that's it. Recess? Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.